We're so glad to have you as part of this consult video today with us. And Richard Odom and I, both of our associations here in the Tri-County area, have just been so thankful for the way God has provided leaders to serve and speak to various topics as we all consider how do we navigate this very unusual and challenging time. Richard, I know you and I have been talking about how dynamic it's been and how helpful it's been to a lot of our churches to have these calls. And today I'm really excited about meeting with these children's leaders and specialists that will help us as we think as families. Maybe you want to add a comment there, Richard, just as we get started.
You know, absolutely. This is probably the one area that we're getting as many or more questions about than any other area. Because when we talk about reemerging, coming back to church, our churches have become accustomed to children's church and the kids looking forward to going and not having to, you know, listen to the guy up front, so to speak. And so everything's changing. And so the question is, what does that look like? And how can we safely bring the kids back to church? And you know, we've got two groups that are most at risk, obviously our children, our senior adults, and we're real concerned about that. And so I think this is great information. And I know from conversations I've had, and I know you've had, pastors are really hungry to know how to work this component into the reemerging of our churches.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm so glad to introduce you today, some of our guests. I first want to introduce our doctors who are with us, pediatricians with Neighbors Medical in North Charleston. First, Dr. Will Martin. So grateful, Will, to have you on this call today and to add your thoughts and expertise. And I so appreciate Will and Sarah and their family, the way they love Jesus and love the kingdom of God, and reaching out to people. Also delighted to have Will's partner, Anna, Dr. Anna Tucker. And Anna is also with Neighbors Medical. And so grateful, Anna, to have you here on the call with us. And for both of you to give your time and expertise is just a great gift. And again, I love the fact that you're giving it not just from your professional training and perspective, but also from the standpoint of the kingdom mindset and the love for the church and love for people in Jesus' name. So thank you. Also really happy to have on this call some other specialists that are working in children's ministry, tenured children's ministry leaders. Thankful for Michelle Whitman from River Bluff Church, children's ministry director there. Michelle is a great gift to that church and to our region. She right now is the director also of the Children's Connect ministry that connects children's directors and ministry leaders together. And so grateful for the way that you build collaboration, Michelle, with so many different churches and helping them. So thank you as well. And last but not least is a guy that shares my same last name, Steve Tuck. He is my older brother that I duly respect, not just because of his age, but because of who he is and his love for Jesus and especially his love for children. At East Cooper Baptist Church, Steve has been there for nearly 30 years as the children's pastor. And so Steve has also been instrumental in starting the Children's Ministry Connect with children's leaders across the region, as well as training in Vacation Bible School and many different things for the state convention. So grateful, Steve, to have you on this call. And I also want to welcome Layla Carlson, our resource associate with the Charleston Baptist Association. Layla has been an incredible gift for us as we help churches in ways to resource them and equip them for ministry. And so today we're going to dive into this topic, this very important topic about children and children's ministry. And one thing I want to start is this, we're going to have three topics today. And the first topic that we want to talk about is children and spatial distancing. Now adults, we have all been told how to stay far apart, even have tape on the floor at different places. Stand here, don't move over here. Well, good luck with that with children, right? That's not an easy task because children don't really know about spatial distancing. They just know to get together and do what children do. And so the first thing we want to talk about is children and spatial distancing. What are the dangers and risks? First, we want to talk about it from a medical perspective, and then from a ministry perspective, what are some of the opportunities, even innovations, that we can think about in this time of keeping distance to make sure everyone is healthy and well? So I want to start with Dr. Martin, Dr. Tucker, on this topic about children and spatial distancing. Share some of your insights and thoughts on that.
One of the, maybe the place to start would be to say, early on, it seemed to be apparent that relatively speaking, a lot of the children across the world, where it started in Asia and then from there, did not seem to be affected in quite the same way. The percentage of kids who got this virus and then were ended up hospitalized or dead seems to be significantly lower than other populations if you just take the whole pediatric group, which sounds like a good thing. But in answering your question, the concern has always been children being wonderful ways for this virus to, or terrible ways for this virus to then infiltrate in all sorts of different homes and communities and cities, because there is so much intermingling when they're together at schools or in daycares or in other after school programs. They may not have any symptoms, and then they go home and they've passed this virus to their families. And so getting to your question, to the danger is not only themselves potentially getting sick, and some do get very sick and die from it, but maybe from the bigger, from a wider perspective, it's children as vectors, as carriers of this virus that can then become, contribute to mass spread in a bigger way. So for that reason, one of the first interventions that our government put in place was to close the schools as a way of trying to address that problem.
Yeah, I agree with Will. I think the hard thing is right now, because this disease is only, let's see, late November, December, January, February, March, April, you know, 4.5, 5 months old. We just still don't understand to what degree children contribute to the spread of the disease. There's definitely been evidence that shows that if an adult in a household is infected, then it spreads down the chain. It can spread down the chain to children, but then to what degree are children then spreading it to their teachers, to other care providers? It's a big question mark. And then Will, you mentioned like the pediatric patients, so 18, we'd say 21 and under would fall in the pediatric range. Specifically though, infants 12 months and younger are the higher risk in the children age group in terms of risk of having more severe illness or being hospitalized. And so I think that's something to keep in mind too, since we're talking about children's ministry and knowing that lots of churches do have nurseries.
That's good. That's a good word for us to be mindful of from a context perspective. Richard or Layla, feel free to jump in here too, as well as questions on this topic on children and distancing. So anything you two want to add, it'd be great to ask as well.
Well, I'm interested to hear, you know, you mentioned innovations and ideas. The tricky thing is, as you said, it's very difficult to have a group of children in a room and say, and successfully pull off. I think it's difficult to have a group of adults in a room and to pull that off. So to have a group of children in the room, I think it's very difficult, and there may be some good ideas or approaches to that.
I think going back to the basics would also be important to remember. I mean, some things that children can do and do very well and that adults can help assist with is hand washing. You know, hand washing immediately upon entering, not having parents escort children back to classrooms, depending on the setup of the children's ministry area. I know right now Denmark schools just went back a couple weeks ago, as did I think Australian schools are back. And I just read an article this morning that's across the board, adults are not going back into childcare areas. And I'm specifically talking about schools, but hand washing regularly, like once an hour. And I believe the American Academy of Pediatrics suggests that children over the age of 2 wear masks when out in public. As a parent and as a pediatrician, I'm not sure how realistic that is. And that's likely just to lead to more face touching, which defeats the point of wearing a mask. But, you know, hand washing, hand gel, wiping down high touch surfaces regularly, that can do a lot to spread most germs, including coronavirus, and also to give confidence to parents and other nursery and children's ministry workers.
You know, one of the things for the doctors, I mean, one of the things you hear a lot about with adults is being very cautious of those with compromised immune systems, being very compromised, you know, those with underlying conditions. And of course, most of those conversations are in context of our senior adults when we're talking. But I'm assuming the same would be true for our children, that we need to be aware of those underlying and those possible situations that could make a child more vulnerable to this, correct? Or is Absolutely. That fair?
Absolutely. You know, Anna mentioned the increased risk for younger, you know, infants, and it's particularly neonates and very small infants. But sure, you know, if there's chronic medical illness and other for other children, including, I think asthma would be one of the most common ones, chronic medical illness that's relatively common that could really predispose a child to be at increased risk, or diabetes, and there's probably some other scenarios. Yes, but you should any child with a chronic disease, there's more concern there.
So we need to maybe be a little more insistent upon our parents giving us some medical history, not getting personal with them, but we need to know if they have a child with a possible compromised immune system, then if we're going to bring them back in and incorporate them when the time comes. Is that a pretty fair?
I think that's fair. And I think, I don't know if this is the time to bring up the mention of the surveys that we'd sort of previously skirted around for a few minutes there before this call, but that could potentially be part of the kind of a survey that you get of your church population. What kind of chronic diseases do people have in the pediatric population or in the general population? And that might affect, you know, if a quarter of your kids are less than a year old with these kind of medical diseases, you might think about things a little bit differently than if none of them fit in that category. And every church is going to have a different demographic. It's particularly the smaller the church is. You know, the larger churches are obviously going to have probably similar demographics in some way, but smaller churches may not.
So that survey, Will, that you just referenced that we were talking about, so our church took a survey and so did Michelle's church. And I think we found basically the same thing. You were nodding your head, Michelle, that it seemed to be the same kind of thing. It was a literally a 50-50 split on those people that said, we should start church now and get back together. And then other side was people saying, I'm not sure if I'm ready to come back unless there's some serious care and precautions put in place. And so trying to navigate that ministry-wise is a big deal. Was going to want to necessarily offend. We want to be safe and careful and all those things. And as we think about reopening, we think about children as it relates to kids and social distancing and wearing masks. Yeah, all that just seems to be craziness in one sense. As we have gone into this whole pandemic, I think it was sort of quick at the beginning. Then it was sort of a slow process of revealing some things, learning some things, still not knowing things. But as we've gone into it slowly, it appears like as churches, and we haven't settled on this as a church leadership staff yet either, but we're getting close to making a call as to when we come back, what that's going to look like. And I think it's going to be just as we went into it slowly, we're going to come out of this thing slowly. And so the children and family ministry side of me, the family ministry side says, you know, it's going to be a good thing for a little while because our kids are going to be with mom and dad in worship, and we need to, as children's ministers, I think provide, and Michelle, you can speak to this, just provide helps for parents as they go into worship with mom and dad. I'm thankful that for a period of time, they're going to be able to see a baptism along the way, maybe a Lord's Supper, a communion. They're going to be able to see other things that they don't normally see, because I think our churches we've all gotten very good at age segregation. And so I think this pandemic has taught us a lot. And I think as we slowly come out, that's going to be some good things that we continue to do together as families.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
Well, speaking to that, we are looking at a slow phase back in. And in that slow phase in, children will probably be the last phased in. That's fluid. That's changing every day. We don't have target dates or anything like that because we're trying to be smart. We're listening to good resources and good sources of information, things like this. But I will agree with Steve to say that I and my team have embraced this as an answered prayer. This is something we have prayed about for so long that parents will begin to see themselves as the spiritual leaders in their homes, that they will build confidence in being able to open the Bible and read that with their kids at home. So as we started this process, it was about lots of resources and lots of direction. And our strategy has been to slowly back off of that so that, yes, we're still providing support and prayer and resources, but parents are taking a larger role in being the spiritual leaders in their household. So it is an answered prayer in that sense, in addition to the fact that we want to continue to capitalize on the things that the Lord has started here with being the church outside of the church. So if we want to make sure we're communicating clearly, and we do, Dr. Martin, I think it was you that mentioned, when we take kids in for the first time, we do have that information. We ask that information about health issues and, you know, allergies and diabetes and things like that so that we can be prepared and love and care for our kids well. So that is something that we keep back there. I don't think it's a bad idea about getting it for everyone in the church, but for the kids, we definitely have it. So anyway, it's going to be important to communicate with parents. If your child is unwell, even if you think it's allergies, maybe you stay home, and that's okay. We need to let them know that's okay. Just because you're not here the first day that the door is open, you know, it's okay to do that. Give them some space to feel like that's an okay thing to stay home and worship together.
And I know Michelle would agree to this too, that we, and all of us would, it's just that our parents have been thrust into a lot of responsibilities.
Yes.
A lot. So when you think about homeschooling especially and everything else and just the 24/7 of life, I want to balance this out and graciously and lovingly help guide people into this thing of, you know, hey, listen, you guys have always been homeschooling.
That's right.
It started when that baby came home. And so, you know, as far as spiritual nurturing, I just want to lovingly point our parents to a good thing here that mm-hmm. we together, and it's been hard in lots of ways, but at the same time, there's good things here.
Mm-hmm. So I would ask also the question, as we consider the reentry point, whenever there's a point by which we reenter, whether it's in the collective worship area with parents, families, or when there that point comes, Michelle, as you're saying, that gradual entry back. I'd love to hear from the doctors on this. What are the things that we need to look for that are the red flags so that, A, you do all the preparation you can to prepare and provide a safe space, steward people well, go through this very slowly and gradually. But maybe let's talk about some of those things that would be precautions, what to look for. And then especially as we begin thinking about the dynamic of children's workers and how they need to take some new protocols on. It'd be good and helpful to begin thinking as churches are putting plans together to re-enter at the appropriate time. What are some of those things that you would speak to from a medical health perspective? And then Steve and Michelle, speak to that as well.
Just to clarify, are you talking about symptoms or are you talking about epidemiological? So like the how things look in the community or just so I know how to think about answering that question.
Good question. And so I'll say yes to all the above. The big context and then the smaller one, like in that moment in time, in place. So yeah.
Well, the good news for South Carolina is that over the past couple of weeks, there has been a downward trend in positive cases, which is helpful and good. And I'd say locally, it would also depend on what like our state health our county health officials are telling us about positive cases. From a symptom standpoint, the really frustrating thing about coronavirus is that in children in particular, case studies have shown that it can present as pretty much any common looking infection, plus or minus fever. Fever, runny nose, cough, vomiting, diarrhea, rash, eye discharge, or like Dr. Martin said before, no symptoms at all, and they just test positive because they happen to be tested for some, you know, some other reason. So I think the tricky thing is, how do you give parents a set of guidelines to say, okay, if your child is having this, we would prefer if you, you know, for your own sake, you know, not re-enter or take a temperature, but a temperature is only one point in time. You know, you can have no fever now and an hour later have a fever. So that's not a very sure way of sorting things out. I don't, what do you think, Dr. Martin?
I think if we're talking about when to re-engage and when to re-enter, it's sort of one conversation that to me maybe goes back to the first things that you're suggesting, Dr. Tucker, about the overall epidemiological aspect and what our government is saying. I mean, God puts our government in a position to act wisely, and we hope that they are. You know, it's easy sometimes to be skeptical about the people who are making those decisions about different aspects, different political aspects. But this is the good world, the good city, the good state, and the good country that God put us in. And we want to respect them and want to believe. I'd like to believe that the people who are making those decisions on a bigger state, national level, so to speak, are doing the best they can with the knowledge that God's given them to make wise decisions. So that, for example, you know, if and when the local county school boards or state boards decide that this is an appropriate time to reopen the public school systems, that may be a clue that, hey, you know, things are better and we can open more things up in the church level as well. I don't think that's going to be in the near future, but it will come. And I think, as we're saying, I think Mr. Tuck, Ms. Whitman, we're saying that, hey, phasing the children thing is going to be one of the later things that happen. If children are going to school, it's the same kind of a thing there as would happen in a children's ministry setting. I don't know how much you're gaining by saying we're not going to have the children's ministry thing if they're all a part of the school system. But that's sort of the bigger picture of how do you think about reentry and a wide open children's ministry and back in the way that it was. But in terms of your question, your follow-up discussion about actual symptoms and thinking about how do we encourage families to stay home, you know, I think you can. The kind of conversation that we're having here can be the kind of conversation that you have with your parents. Hey, this virus, when children can look the wide range of symptoms, we would love for you to share your love for the people in the church by, if you feel like your child is sick, please stay home. This is loving to everyone. And the parents can decide, how do you define diarrhea or nausea or runny nose or cough for their child? Fever is a little bit easier. That's the easy one because there's a number, you know, it kind of pops up. But, and you could have a screening protocol. You could, with the little wand temp things, that could be a potential tool that could pick up on some sick children that might slip through the parental filter. I mean, I have kids that come see me and the parents. I had no idea that they had a fever and all of a sudden they have it. And so anyway, you could use that as a tool, but I think the bigger thing would be to educate the families and the parents and encourage them. This is the way that we show love in this time, uh-huh, is to kindly, you know, create space for your child to stay home if and when they're ill. I think we can do that as Christians who love each other. That's something we can work on. Uh-huh.
Dr. Martin and Dr. Tucker, thank you. If I may add something Dr. Tucker said, one of the rhythms we already have established in our children's ministry, and I'm pretty sure Steve probably does as well, is we use the DHEC exclusion policy that the schools use for this list of things. If your child has diarrhea and this within 24 hours and all that. And we clearly post that throughout our areas by every door, at every check-in, anyway. That was already a pre-existing rhythm, so parents are familiar with that because we have flu season and we have these other seasons. So we already kind of have that in our language. Now's the time to maybe bump that up a notch with some clear communication, remind them it's there. One thing I do is every year I change the color of the poster. So it catches their eye because they're used to seeing the green poster and now they see the orange poster. It's just a little trick I use, but we already have those existing rhythms. So I think just a reminder of those existing rhythms would be helpful based on what Dr. Tucker was saying about making sure parents understand those things. Just, I mean, you can't control whether they're going to listen or not, right, but you can have that out there.
The other part of our survey we took, there was a middle group that said, speaking to what Will was saying, there was a middle group that said, you know, I'm going to trust our pastors and our leaders to navigate this well for us. And I think in the majority of our churches, we're going to find that to be true, that our people are looking for us to lead in this matter. So I think it's going to take a lot of precaution and a lot of grace. And so I think grace has to be extended from the pulpit by the senior pastor to say, hey, everybody, we've got everybody in this room together. Please do not be upset if there's a crying baby and that parent's going to take care of that child or there's this going on. We've gotten so used to our services being a place where you can barely hear a pin drop during the message. And that's just the way it's become. So it's harder for people to focus now that we've crafted ministry that way, in good ways and in detrimental ways by not having families together. So we've got to navigate that well and give a lot of grace situation as we reemerge.
And I would add quickly that we are trying to model being obedient and submissive to government regulations and government guidelines. I think when the schools are back in session, that's going to psychologically do something with our parents that's going to add a comfort level. If the schools are back in, then, you know, things are opening. And that was something else that was reflected in that survey tool. It was a question about when school is back in, would I allow my kids back in? So right. I do think that would be a great marker for us thinking about timing.
Yeah, I agree with that. As it relates to school, I know we have a Christian school here at our church, and when CCSD closed for the rest of the year, we did as well. We just followed that protocol. And so I think that's a good measurement. We also had to adjust our VBS this summer. You know, some churches said we're just not going to do it. Some churches have just had to modify it, do it differently. We're modifying ours, doing ours differently. But we monitored the whole situation. When school was canceled for the rest of the year, we also found out that in June, Kaleidoscope, which is the after-school childcare for schools, they were not doing Kaleidoscope for the whole month of June. They canceled that. Camps that Michelle and I have relied upon had canceled. So we took that as we need to go in another direction. And for ministry's sake, had to choose a direction, because if we didn't, then we would be either working for nothing as far as just not having a goal to focus on, or either we're going to do VBS or not do VBS. So we had to choose an alternative route on that one program to do VBS at home this year.
Mm-hmm. You know, Stephen, you brought up a point that we heard one of our on an interview last week, and it was, while we were not recording, we were in that after action, if you will, conversation. And one of the ladies that was on the interview said, you know, I trust my pastor. And when my pastor says it's safe to come back, it's safe to come back. And I'm not worried about it. And I think we need to remember that. And if we make a callous or a careless decision, and we're not going to be able to plead ignorance, because there's a plethora of information out there, and no one's going to be able to say, I had no way to know that. Right. And so I think if we understand as pastors, as family pastors, children's pastors, whatever the role, if we understand people are looking at us and literally us saying it's okay to come back under this protocol because we're making a careful, calculated decision, they trust that we are. And and I think that statement, thank you, Stephen, because that statement should be the weight that makes all of us think and rethink the protocols of reemerging.